Hey, do you know how much money you have in your purse or your pocket right now? Right to the penny? You know how much money you spent today so far, or yesterday, or the last week? Interesting. Money. We're talking money today. Mark Twain, that great theologian, made the statement that the lack of money is the root of all evil. I don't think that's biblical, but certainly a little insightful when it talks about money. And when you look at the statistics today on money, 54% of Americans, according to research, Lending Club survey, found that 54% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. What comes in goes out just to keep their head above water. It was interesting for you all you millennials out there, 24% of you millennials have basic financial literacy, even though the National Endowment for Financial Education did a study and 69% of millennials, you all considered yourselves to be financially knowledgeable, but when you actually took a test on money, only 24% of you really understood some of the basics of money. Now, not picking on millennials, this is true of all generations when it comes to money. And that's what we want to talk about today. Some of you may have or been following or listened to from time to time Dave Ramsey and his 7 steps. And I know Dave would say this. I mean, you can have 7 steps, 2 steps, 10 steps, but if you're not intentional, you're going nowhere. And so intentional with whatever program is that you put into place is what is important. Or maybe the Crown Financial Ministry people, great ministry, what they do when it comes to money. We here at Intentional Living, our money section, the things that we talk about money, we say 10-10-80 is a really quick way to get into understanding, learning to be faithful in giving 10%. And if you can't do that now and you're not doing that now, don't beat yourself up, but there's a goal. Start moving in that direction. Start saving at least 10%. If you're further along, do more so. I'll tell you right now, if you're a young person in your 20s and you start saving 10%, you go down the road 40 or 45 years from now, you're going to have a pile that you could be able to use for retirement. And if you've been giving faithfully during that time, look at the generosity, learning to live on 80%. That's smart stuff. That's intentional living. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're opening the phone lines right now. You, along with those we've talked to on our comment line, I've talked to in the past, share stories about money. And I would just love to hear you share how money and your marriage, what's going on, money in your marriage, money in your family, is it working, not working? If you have a question, I'm glad to help. Or maybe you say, hey, this is something we've learned. Here's one thing that's made a difference when it comes to money in our marriage or money in our family as we help each other. This is a community where we grow together, okay? All right, phone line's open. Stephen's ready. Let's go. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717 to be a part of the show today. We get started with Christina in New Mexico. Talk about money and your marriage, Christina.
Well, we've been married almost 20 years, and I'm a saver, and my husband is a spender. So that created a lot of issues in the beginning because we didn't know that that was the title of what it was. I just didn't understand why he spent money all the time, and he didn't understand why I kept clutching the purse even tighter.
Mm. So when he was overspending, in your estimation, what did that do to you? How did you feel about that?
Well, I was just frustrated because my whole life, you know, I always saved. And I have the ability just to stumble onto good deals. And so when that would happen, my husband would think, well, we have to get it because that we may never find a good deal again. And so, you know, the Lord just really had to work on both of our hearts with him, learning that he will always provide and that the Lord is the true provider and that he'll always have a good deal somewhere. And for me, it was learning to honor my husband and that I wasn't his mother, that the money was his also, and to not try to control him or control the money. And so that took many years and arguments to get to that point and not be upset.
Now, did you come to a point of crisis?
Yes, actually, we did. And we almost lost everything we had. You know, the job was gone, but there were still the bills that were there. And we had to solely rely on the Lord for absolutely everything. And, you know, we had five children, and so that was difficult, getting to that place where we trusted Him to be our provider and just to walk in His truth.
Now, did you work that through together, Christina, or did you get into counseling or what?
Yes, we sought out counseling, any and everything that we could place our hands on that taught us how to handle our money properly and to get our eyes focused on the Lord and not focused on our lack or what we thought was lack. And then in return, we ended up going through lots of different trainings where we help other people with their budget and able to share our testimony with them, because it started with me honoring my husband and honoring his decisions. But, you know, we were just discussing while I was waiting to talk with you, and I asked him for, you know, a list of things of what he saw in the marriage. And, you know, he said, you know, we always pray before we make a purchase. And if we are not on the same page, we honor each other and we just don't make the purchase. We just wait until we get there.
Yeah. Well, that's wise. Listen, Christina, when you and your husband are on the same page about anything, you fulfill what the scripture teaches, that two are better than one because they have a better return for their work. As far as I'm concerned, it is foolish. It is foolish, if you're hearing me today, for you and your spouse not to get on the same page when it comes to how you handle your money. You're working at different ends, different goals, and you guys are going to pay for it down the road. I love you way too much here at Intentional Living for that to be your story. And it begins today. Today you can make a decision to say, we want to sit down and know what's coming in. We want to put some sort of a financial budget or you call it what you want. I know the word budget is a bad word for a lot of people, but that you want to be intentional when it comes to knowing where the money's coming in and how much is going out. That's why I started with asking, do you know how much money you spent yesterday? Now, I know some of you keep record of everything. Good for you. That's a great way of doing it, but getting on the same page. All right. How about money in your family? What have you learned? What's your story? What would you share with others? You have a question for me? Give me a call. 888-888-1717 is the number. Let me go to Alice in Michigan. Hey, Alice, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your story about money?
So my story is that I've been single all my life, and I I took a Crown Ministry course and lived by the principles. And then at the age of 30, was working at a job that I said I could live the rest of my life off the salary. And I lost my health due to chronic fatigue syndrome, now looked at as COVID-19 long haulers type. And I was able to live for the next 10 months off my savings. And from there, about a decade later, God challenged me to give $1,200 to buy bicycles for leaders in Tanzania. And I did that. And within a week, I was only making $450 a month at the time, and lived alone, owned my own home. And I had made the goal to live a debt-free life. And so I bought I got the bikes. And from there, a week later, all the money I'd given away came back anonymously.
Wow.
And
God supplies. How are you doing now? I mean, are you your house paid off? Are you debt-free?
Yes, I paid my house off after four payments. And so I should be a statistic living on the street, but I am living as a millionaire.
Mm. And listen, you know what? You did some things right. Praying, trusting God. I mean, I don't know how you did the math on all that, but God obviously makes up the difference. He has a way of doing that. But you also did something else. And I think it's important for young people to understand what you heard Alice say. I made a decision. I wanted to live debt-free. And I know that's not always possible. You're going to invest into a home, and today that's very difficult. High interest rates, home prices. I mean, I look at young couples. God love you. Trying to get started today is really tough. But that's why having good understanding of how money works If you're not educated on how money works, get educated. Read the books. Find out. Money is more than just a feeling. A lot of people see money as an emotional thing. It creates emotions. Love-hate relationship with money. But understanding many times it comes down to a math issue as well. Just understanding the math of money, which is important. All right, joining the discussion, let me ask you this. As you think about money, how has it been a blessing or a difficulty or even a curse maybe in your life, in your marriage, your family? And what would you say to someone who's listening today around the country? Give us a call, 888-1717, live here in the Intentional Living Center, talking about the essential area of money, one of the five that we focus on here at Intentional Living.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Let me share five things I think we need to respond appropriately to the defining moments in our life. Number one, let's learn to pray in chapter one and act in chapter two. You know, that order makes a difference. How many of us wait to pray in chapter two, chapter three, chapter four of our life? We get that defining moment, and instead of stopping and sitting and praying and seeking God and getting centered spiritually, we wait until we're in the belly of the big fish. See, we wait until we're in the belly of the beast, and then we cry out to God for survival.
Boy, that happens, doesn't it? That's an excerpt from, a powerful teaching on defining moments in our life. We have them, and these defining moments, we have to make a decision how we choose to live at that moment. It may have been an unintentional consequence of some decision we've made, but how do you respond to those defining moments in your life? We talk about that in the lesson this month. It's up on our exclusive site for our members. Hope you'll join us and be a part of that. You can share it with your friends and family, of course. And I want to welcome some new friends who've just joined us. Lynn has just joined us from Arizona, from the Surprise area. Thank you, Lynn, for joining in support on a recurring monthly basis. And also, Mark, I want to thank you from Kansas for joining us with your generous monthly support for the ministry. We appreciate it. You're allowing us to continue along with many others who are giving monthly. Hope you'll come and join us. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or you can call us during West Coast business hours, 888-1717, and press number two and just say, hey, I want to be a part of Intentional Living. We'd love to have you come and join us today. Your support is making a difference.
Hi, my name is Rebecca, and I'm calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I wanted to comment on the intentional living on your finances and what we are doing. Me and my husband are recently married. We've been married for a little over a year now, and we recently started taking the intention on handling our finances a little bit better and being good stewards as the Bible says to be. And we've been following the Dave Ramsey program, which is a wonderful program. I recommend everyone to listen to what he has to say and how you can start taking control of your money. And one thing that we always remember is put God first and paying our tithes and offering at church and stuff, and always praying about everything that we buy and all that, and giving ourselves an allowance every week, and just being disciplined with our money, more disciplined and very aware of what we're spending, and also writing down our budgets every month, and so we know where all of our money is going, and that always helps. And I recommend that for everyone to do, and of course always put God first. God bless you.
Thank you, Rebecca. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes 5, those who love money will never have enough. I think we all feel that sometimes. We never have enough. And then, of course, Solomon goes on to say, how meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. You know, there's been studies done on, there's a certain level of money above which the return of happiness does not continue to increase. In fact, we all probably know or seen, witnessed, when we see some of these wealthy stars and athletes who end their lives just miserably. And so the money wasn't the key. There's more to it. But at the same time, we have to have what we need to be able to pay for our family and keep things going. That's important. So the question is, and really this is a question in part, when's enough enough and how do you manage what you get? And if we are stewards, how are we dealing with it? What's one thing you've learned about money in your family? Give us a call. Love to have you join in the discussion at 888-888-1717. Kathy, how are you today in Michigan?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. What have you learned about money?
Well, it's through my husband. When we first got together, well, he was homeless before we got together, but when we first got together, I used to have to tell him to blow the dust out of his wallet because he didn't want to spend nothing ever. So anyway, through the years, he's such a great saver, probably the best saver I'll ever know in my lifetime. But we've been together 41 years, and through everything, he saved and saved. And when we were younger, we saved a whole lot, and we never have had a house payment. And, you know, and he's like probably the only person I've ever known that, unless you got a lot of money, that was able to do that. So I'm really proud of him for that.
So here you are 41 years later. He was homeless. He was homeless when you got hooked up, you got married?
No, before we got together.
Part of him saying, hey, you know, I'm not going there again?
No, exactly. It is. That's what part of it. Yes, exactly.
So how do you view money now? 41 years in, you're probably closer to the retirement end of life here. How do you view money now?
I always try to give when God tells me to. And I just recently gave to Youth Haven Ranch, and I just felt so good about it.
Yes. And it's a great place.
Yeah, I did. And anyway, we have two boys with learning disabilities, and just, you know, going through life with my husband and learning things from him.
What have you learned? What's one or two things that you would say to a young woman coming up married that helped you?
I would say think about stuff before you do it. Like, think before you spend and definitely put some away for the future, for your retirement.
Were you real intentional in doing that? Sounds like your husband was he very systematic in doing that?
Yeah, he's really good about doing that. He just, like, I don't know how he does it. I seriously don't, because I'm more of a spender than he is. But it's just like a team effort, you know. But he really does stay on the path of saving all the time.
So what did you do when you wanted to spend and he said no?
Well, he doesn't really tell me no whole lot, because I don't like go out and buy $1,000 purses or something. But, you know, I basically buy more for my kids than I do myself. So, you know, it kind of evens out.
So you were a team. You supported his desire to save. Any regrets as you look back now at this stage that you saved too much, you shouldn't have saved, or done something different?
I think we should have saved more, actually, but yeah.
Yeah,
I always think that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way when they get to that point. Man, I should have. Well, listen, that's why wherever you are today, to really sit down and understand some of the math, what it is. Ultimately, we trust in the Lord. We don't know what's going to. You can put money in the stock market and look for retirement. That whole thing can blow up. It can. And those of you even in the market as experts or financial advisors, you all know that. You don't know from day to day. We can project or we can forecast, but there's a lot of research that even the forecast can be a guessing game in terms of how it's actually going to turn out. We don't know. And so you take it on a whole, on average, and you trust God and you look to the future and you get good advice and then you make decisions. All right, we're talking about money today. I'd love to have you join in. What's one thing you've learned about money? How's money in your family? Is it a good thing or has it been a challenge for you? You know, my wife, Donna, and I, when we married at 19 and 18, we didn't know anything about money. We just decided we were going to start saving and start giving. And we did both and have over these last many, many years. And I'm going to tell you something. There's something called compounding interest. Compounding interest works. It's a little bit over an extended period of time. And that's why We have always taught here at Intentional Living this 10-10-80. Being faithful of saving 10%, giving 10%, and living on 80%. And if you're further along, maybe it's going to be 20-10-80, where you're going to be saving more. But setting aside, learning to be grateful for what we have and living on what God supplies. And I know sometimes that's difficult based on maybe where you are at this point. All right, come and join us. What have you learned about money in your family? Does it work for you or not? 888-888-1717. Let's go to Karen in Arizona. What have you learned about money, Karen?
About 2-3 years ago, I kept getting calls from realtors and creditors and stuff like that, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And finally, I asked one of the realtors why they kept calling to ask if my house was for sale. And she informed me that I hadn't made a mortgage payment in quite some time, and my house was going to auction.
Oh, wow.
And they were asking if I wanted to sell before it went to auction. And
what was that moment like when you heard that? What were you experiencing?
My heart sank, and I was upset because I knew that that was my husband's kind of quote-unquote job in our marriage. And was to pay the mortgage. And so I asked him, I confronted him, and his response was, I'm sorry, I messed up.
Mm.
So again, heart sank. And I think it hit me pretty hard knowing that we would have to move from our home, the neighborhood, such and such, the school that my kids had been going to.
Well, yeah.
And It come to find out it had been several years.
So we hadn't made payments in years. And did you end up losing the house, Heather?
We ended up having to go through bankruptcy, which was a huge mess in and of itself. We were able to save the house by doing, I believe it's a Chapter 13, where you go back and pay back what you owe. But the headache, the heartache that all of that had caused was way worse than if he just would have came forward and told me, because then I could have helped. I could have got a second job. I could have babysat, something to bring in more money.
Well, why wasn't he making the payments? What was he doing with the money?
To this day, I don't know. And part of me, I don't want to know.
What happened to your marriage as a result of all this?
We ended up getting a divorce because, like you said earlier on the program, that if they're hiding this, they're hiding more, and it was credit card debt and so on and so forth, which all of that came to the surface when we went through bankruptcy.
Mm. Hey, let me ask you, what would you do if you were back in that marriage? And I'm sorry for this, Heather, for you guys, for both of you, but if you were back in that marriage, let's go back, rewind the tape 10 years or whatever, what would you do different than you did do?
I think I trusted him so much that I never really looked at the bank account. I just trusted that he did his part, I did my part, and we worked together. So next time, if I could do it over, it's more of an open communication and not to have him scared or think that I'll be upset if he were to come to me, and to talk to me open and honestly. I'd rather the open and honest than to be totally blindsided.
Yeah.
And have to play catch up or, you know, I mean, because the bankruptcy process, it's not as glamorous as some may think. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of time that you're having to go back and forth to lawyers. And so I would suggest open communication.
We've all had those situations in life where we can either run to God or away from Him. In these defining moments, asking the right questions and prayerfully making decisions can change our lives and the lives of people around us. In Dr. Randy's message, Defining Moments, you'll hear how Nehemiah and Jonah responded to God in dramatically different ways. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kurt. Hope you do that. We'd love to have you be a part of the family with us. Just go to theintentionallife.com. Couple things here on wrapping up the show. We're going to continue this discussion. We're going to record for a later broadcast. And I'd love to have you just join us and talk about how money is impacting your life. What decisions have you made? What are you wrestling with? How have you dealt with money issues? Where does money fit into the grand scheme of your life, either bringing you contentment or stress? And what one thing have you been doing to handle money in your marriage and family? Tell us your story. Ask your question. Phone line will remain open at 888-888-1717. You know, as we wrap up today, the three steps of intentional living. First is to make a decision. And I just, for those of you who are struggling with money today, this is a stress point in your marriage and in your family. God love you. It shouldn't be. It doesn't have to be. It is. It's often the issues that bring people into counseling. It's an underlying foundational problem that can create tentacles that get into your family, into your marriage, into your relationships, and so many things. Can I encourage you and your spouse, or if you're single, make a decision today to say, before God, I choose to be a better steward. That's the word we use. God, you're allowing me to have these resources. Do I need to have more resources? Do I need to work for more resources? Do I need to back off? What do I need to do? But make a decision to say, before you, Lord, today, I choose to make a decision to be intentional with my finances. And then if you need counseling, if you need some financial counseling, you need to read some books. But you can begin with the simplicity of 10-10-80 to say, we're going to start living on the means that come into us and not beyond those. And what one thing do we need to do every day, every week, and every month to make that a reality? And then the third step is to start the process of decluttering, not using credit cards, knowing where the money is going. Maybe getting rid of assets that you need to sell, the leverage to put back into paying off some things, getting your debt down. There are things that you can do and stories you're going to hear in the next show that'll help you get there. We love you and we want the best for you. If you want to join this discussion today, give me a call, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. And we're going to get to those life lessons on money coming up in the next show. All right. Thank you, Andrew, for helping out today. And Stephen, our producer, and the rest of the team here at Intentional Living, we're glad to be a part of your life. And I hope you'll pray for us. We'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.